Welcome to the Motley Fool Radio Show. I'm David Gardner, broadcasting from Fool Global Headquarters here in Alexandria, Virginia. Thanks for spending some time with us this weekend. On today's show, we're talking to you about your job as we revisit our How's Business special. We'll also talk about some downright gross vocations with Discovery Channel's Mike Rowe, host of the series Dirty Jobs. But we kick things off this week with a man whose job it is to know all things technology. Among other things, Bob Crimsley is a computer journalist. He's also the author of the best-selling book Accidental Empires, How the Boys of Silicon Valley Make Their Millions, Battle Foreign Competition, and Still Can't Get a Date. Most recently, he's the host and writer of the PBS TV miniseries Electric Money. You may have also read his work. I'm sure you have, haven't you? In the New York Times, Forbes, Newsweek, etc. Bob Crimsley, welcome back to the Motley Fool Radio Show.
I'm really happy to be here, David.
Bob, let's talk about a few of the subjects that you've been writing about lately, all of which I'm fascinated with. Let's begin with Apple. The company has had incredible success with the iPod. I don't think that's news to anyone. Shares of Apple have doubled over the last year. That's only news to people who aren't investors. All of that is very good news. What do you think is next for Apple, Bob?
I think Apple is edging its way into the television and movie business in a new fashion. They're getting ready to launch a TV distribution system over the internet. Already you can download shows from ABC and NBC, but they're just a few shows from each network, and I think that they're getting ready to expand this into a huge business with hundreds or thousands of shows and movies from all the major networks and movie studios.
Let's next change gears and go to Google. You've been writing about, quote, the Google box, end quote. And Bob, I've had your column forwarded to me by a few different people talking about Google's data centers. For a lot of us, we know Google, the search engine, that empty field with a cursor blinking that we type something into. But can you tell us some about, inform us about what Google data center strategy involves?
Well, Google's data center is where all the servers sit that respond to your queries to Google for any purpose, whether mm-hmm. it's the Google Search or Google Maps or Gmail. And 2 years ago, Google had one data center. So everything in the world that went to Google came to this one building. And today they have 64 data centers. And 2 years from now, they'll probably have 400. And this distribution is intended for a variety of reasons, not just for redundancy and error, so that if there's a natural disaster, there's not a problem, but also because the closer that they can get the data centers to the end users, the faster the service can be and the less likely it can be to be disrupted by competitors or internet service providers or specifically telephone companies that don't want the competition, because Google's moving into video, they're moving into voice over IP telephone service, and the closer that they can get, ideally like two or three hops away from you, then the better they'll do their job.
Mm. So what is exactly the Google box?
Well, there are actually two Google boxes, but the one I think you're thinking of is the Google shipping container, which is literally a shipping container that a 40-foot box like you'd see on a great big freighter that contains 5,000 Athlon processors and about 3.5 petabytes of disk storage. It's literally this huge computing device that they can take in on a trailer truck and drop off. Mm-hmm. It has its own air conditioning, its own power, and just have it running. And the whole point of this is that there are about 400 what are called peering points on the Internet. They're points where the major networks cross each other and exchange data. And if Google can position these boxes, these shipping containers, at those peering points and can go in as a peer, they save a lot of money, they improve their performance, and they become, if they effectively sort of control the web.
Mm. You've also written, Bob, that Sam Walton taught Google more about how to dominate the Internet than Microsoft ever did. Could you connect the dots for us?
Yeah, sure. You know, all the complaints that small towns have about Walmart coming in and, darn it, they lowered the prices, but they killed downtown while they were at it. That's the Google strategy, which is with these 400 locations, each of those is near a major population center, mm-hmm. is to come in and become a major data player, data meaning internet, voice, video, whatever can be schlepped in form of bits over the wire, mm-hmm. In competition with every telephone company, every cable company, every broadcast TV station, every radio station. You know, it's Google everywhere.
Mm. For the fun of it, Bob, let me ask you, what kind of a phone system or service do you use today?
Well, I'm let's just say a little bit complex. I have at my home, I have for internet, I have a cable modem. I also have DSL, and I also have a bootleg Wi-Fi system that you wouldn't believe. On top of that, for telephone, I live in Charleston, South Carolina, so I have Bell South. I also have Vonage, and I also have Skype.
And Bob, you just used the phrases Vonage and Skype. Now, some of our tech-savvy listeners are already using them. Others might be wondering, what the heck did he just say?
Well, Vonage is a major voice over IP telephone company, which is a phone company that doesn't have any phone lines. You connect a device, an adapter to your broadband connection, and suddenly you're on. You have a telephone line that can call out to any telephone anywhere in the world.
Mm-hmm.
There are many competitors in this space, most notably Packet 8, another one called Gizmo, and more all the time. Skype is the biggest player in the computer-to-computer voice over IP market, where originally people could talk to folks on Skype accounts on other computers for free. And now they've introduced Skype In, which allows people to call in from regular phones, and Skype Out, which allows people to call out from regular phones. This whole voice over IP thing is dramatically changing the telco industry, and it is really putting a hurt on the phone companies.
And in fact, Bob, let's try an experiment here. Your phone line honestly isn't that great. Let's try connecting to you with Skype. Could we do that? Would that be okay?
Sure, that's fine.
Bob Cringely, are you there?
I'm here, David.
Okay, so the sound quality is certainly different. I don't know how it sounds to my listeners, but to me it sounds much better.
Well, it should. I'm using a $1,000 microphone. How about you?
I'm not sure mine cost $1,000, but beyond the expense of the hardware, are you paying anything or much at all for what you're doing right now?
This use of Skype computer to computer is absolutely free anywhere in the world.
Bob, let's change gears here. Let's talk about Microsoft for a minute. I'm not sure we've used that phrase yet in our talk together. You've written that you've written that Microsoft is, quote, giving the perception that they're doing the same things as Google, so Microsoft will be as good an investment as Google, end quote. Could you explain?
Yeah. Microsoft is playing and has always been a Me Too player, you know, except I suppose when they did the first BASIC interpreter for the Altair 8800. They have always been a follower, and they're continuing to be so here. And if you look at the areas in which they're going into, I mean, they're building they've identified Google as their major threat. They talk about Google. They trash talk about Google. That's the mistake right there. And they're bringing in search services and, you know, toolbar services and all these things that are tightly integrated, supposedly, with a version of Windows that's to appear next year that, you know, may or may not work very well. Who knows? But a lot of it is, look how Google-like we are. Why aren't we worth $300 a share?
Bob, what's one development in technology that you're excited about that may not be on other people's radar, guys like me, for example, yet?
Oh, wow. Wow. That's the best question I've been asked in a long, long time. I think that there are interesting developments coming in mundane areas that you'd be surprised about. For example, disk drives. There's a huge problem that is emerging, and you know, as we build all these data centers, they're filled with all these disk drives that are making all this heat. And I just read something the other day about how the power consumption of these internet services is so immense that that's ending up costing more money than actually the hardware itself. So that means there's a terrific opportunity in enterprise hardware that's lower in power consumption, something that the business has not been aimed at. But now we're going to see a whole bunch of startups come out competing with the Seagates and the Maxtors and the Intels, frankly, for making lower power versions of all these products. And that's the market entry opportunity in those traditional product areas.
Let's close with our game, Buy, Sell, or Hold. Bob, you've played it before, but to remind you, I'll be throwing out not stocks, but things happening in the world at large, and ask you if they were stocks, would you be buying, selling, or holding today, and a sentence as to why. You ready?
Sure.
Let's kick it off with podcasting. It's a technology that allows you to record programs onto portable MP3 players like the iPod. Podcasting, if it were a stock today, buy, sell, or hold?
I would buy, but I'd only buy for the next 6 months.
So you think it's a fad?
I do.
Why?
Because the podcasts that are of high enough quality will eventually be subsumed into the professional media.
Next one up for you, the future of TiVo, not the stock here, but the company. Buy, sell, or hold?
Sell. I think TiVo is actually doing a bunch of brilliant things, but it's just prior to their just crashing and burning terribly. Mm. I don't think that the management is necessarily as savvy as they're given credit for being, and I think that in the long run, some of their choices have been bad.
Mm. And do you think this company is bought out by somebody else, or do you think that this company just kind of withers away?
Oh, no, no. I think inevitably it's bought out.
Okay. Next one up, DVD by mail subscription services, whether it's Netflix, Blockbuster, Walmart, what have you, buy, sell, or hold?
Well, I'd have to split it out. I would buy Netflix under any circumstances. It's a very well-managed company. They define their market niche, and they are prepared to move wherever it dictates that they move. Mm. Blockbuster is a dying company that's attempting to, stretch out its painful death. And Walmart, frankly, sells more dog food.
Last one for you, Bob Cringely. Robotic pets. If they were a stock, going forward, buy, sell, or hold?
I'm speechless. I would say sell. If there's any value there at all, I would say sell today.
Bob Cringely, we started this interview over a traditional phone line, but how fitting to experiment with a new technology called Skype. It's free. It allowed us to talk to each other directly via the internet using just PCs and microphones. Thank you, sir, for joining us once again on the Motley Fool Radio Show.
My pleasure, David.